Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring...
I'm Sokotoa, master of gadgetry and geometry.
I'm Penance, and sometimes I can be a real witch.
Now, with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is Volume 11, Rogue Code, Issue 1, AP Technobiology. On the cover, Sokotoa and Penance are driving in a white panel van with the name Xenonow Labs splashed on the side. They are speeding away from the facility, the van bouncing into the air. Penance looks terrified as Sokotoa holds the steering wheel with one hand and a writhing bag of something out the window with the other.
The comic starts with Kalino sprinting down a metallic hallway with a bundle of something under his arm, and he's in full Sokotoa costume, like just completely decked out, but he definitely is like a little, it's clear that he's been through some stuff. Like, his suit is, like, a little roughed up in a couple of places, and he's, like, kind of panting hard as he goes, and he's got this burlap sack under his arm that is kind of squirming and moving there. And from down the hallway, we get a voice bubble shouting out, "Hey, get back here! Bring back that experiment!" And we get the next shot that shows you just up on a bridge that's like that looks over a big lobby that has all of these tropical trees, and there's like a little water feature, and there are scientists in like kind of hazmat suit looking things with big stun rifles, and they're just sprinting trying to like get up to the walk that you are on. And we've got like a big open window that looks out over a central terrace in this science lab, and we can see Xenonow Labs as this just enormous sign that's through the window.
So I reach into my pocket, not my belt, because I just bought smoke bombs. These are not something I invented. This is just like a last ditch, like, oh, I got to get out of here kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I'm going to throw one. There's like two or three halls,
yeah,
kind of going in different directions, and I'm gonna throw one in each,
okay,
so that they're not 100% sure which one I've gone down.
Nice.
I'm looking for the exit to the building.
Nice. Why don't you go ahead and roll to assess the situation? Yes.
So
nice.
That is a 12.
All right, fantastic. So on a 10 plus, you get to ask me two of those questions.
How best could we end this quickly? And
you can also ask them one at a time if you would prefer to space it out. Basically, like, you have little chips,
okay,
that you can spend at any time in this scene.
So let me flip that around then.
Okay.
What here is the biggest threat?
The biggest threat here is the Cryptokeeper, which is a hunter of basically cryptozoological monsters and beasts, right? And so they were kind of introduced in late Silver Age, early Bronze Age, as a hero that like would go and like hunt Sasquatch and stuff like that. But as kind of time has gone by, we've realized, hey, hunting Sasquatch, that's not that super heroic. And so they do a lot of stuff with, they've got a bow and arrow that they have like trick stunning bolts on and stuff like that. So it's got like a little bit of like a Hawkeye vibe if Hawkeye was like a big game hunter that hunts spirits and stuff like that. And he's got like a weird wide variety of stuff these days. He's currently possessed by a demon ghost, which was handled in a Dr. Demoniaco E Light show a while back, but like that's probably not important. He's a bad guy. If he catches you, it will be bad news. There are, you know, like at the American Museum of Natural History, they've got like that enormous whale. They've got a thing like that, but it's just this enormous squid thing. People think that it may have been like a precursor to the Kraken that like existed long and long ago. And so like it's this big, it's basically just this enormous model of it. And from where you are on the catwalk, you could totally jump across and grab onto it and then just swing from there to a little emergency exit that's near a different bridge up above everything, right? So like, you're on like one catwalk and you could swing across to that next catwalk and you'd be like out of the lab. From there, there's maybe a little bit of running to do, but they're looking for you here and there's no easy way to get across there.
Right. Okay. I'm not 100%.
Unless you're a superhero.
Well, I'm not 100% sure that Kalino can make that jump, but okay. He's going to try.
All right. Sounds good.
So he sprints and like I mentioned before, he knows exactly how to do this mechanically.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of, does he have the power to get there?
Okay. Let's see.
That would be a 4.
Ooh. Okay. So you jump and grab onto this enormous hanging statue, and it swings and starts just going back and forth, and you're able to climb up on top of it, and there's like a little moment of victory as you're up there and like, yeah, I'm here. This is going to be great. And then you hear two things. One is just this high-pitched whining sound as the metal above starts to just bend just a little bit. It's definitely strong enough to hold, like the ceiling is definitely strong enough to hold this thing up. It's not strong enough to hold it while it's swinging. And you start to hear a chittering sound from inside your bag. There's a lot of wiggling going on.
How far is this drop? If I were to let go of it or myself and just drop to the floor, how far?
It's probably like a two-story drop.
I'm going to drop from this thing.
Okay.
I'm going to let go.
Okay.
I'm still holding the bag.
Yeah.
But I'm going to drop and I'm going to throw what do they call this one? A Newton's. It's got to be second.
Okay.
It's not the goo though. It's more like an inflatable raft kind of thing.
Okay.
So I throw it down. It pops open and I can now land on this inflatable thing a little more safely than if I had just.
Sounds good. Go ahead and roll to unleash your powers.
I rolled a 1.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So yeah, you throw the orb down and it hits the ground and it just makes the raft and you land onto it. And like the raft was inflated. Everything went well, but that still really hurt. Take a powerful blow.
Okay. 6.
Hey, that's good news.
That's good.
A 6 minus is a good thing.
Oh,
so
good.
Tell us how you weathered the blow.
How did I weather the blow? That's a good question.
Well, his body is all calloused by now.
he is a living black eye.
It's been repaired so many times.
Can I just say that like I struggle through, like
yeah.
I land on this thing and I bounce up and like I hit my back on a wall. Like
yeah.
I bounce up kind of like a trampoline that I have no control over. Like
yeah.
I just whatever. And I hit the wall and I just like, it just stings my back for like a second. Like I got the wind knocked out of me.
Yeah. So we get a panel that shows you kind of like thumping against the wall and just still clutching onto your purloined goods. And there are scientists that are starting to like, they've been moving up to try to get to you. And now they're suddenly having to run downstairs. So we get like a panel that shows them running up and then a text bubble that says, he's downstairs. And then they're running back down. And luckily, the big, wide glass doors to the lab are right in front of you, probably 20 feet away. What do you do?
I get up as quickly as I can, and I sprint as fast as I can to that door.
An arrow comes flying through the air and just shatters through the glass mere inches from your head. And you hear a voice call out, "Now hold on there, not quite done with you yet." So the Cryptokeeper is just this, he's way over the top. He's in like a big safari outfit, including the safari hat, but his eyes glow with this like blue flame because he's also full of like crypto spirit power things.
Right.
He's like nearly 7 foot tall.
Got it.
He's just got like a huge girth, big belly, but just is so clearly strong. Like this is a muscular, scary guy, and he's carrying just this enormous bow that's probably about as tall as he is and like thick wood, and he's got it pulled back with an arrow pointed at you.
The arrow doesn't scare me as much as maybe you'd think.
Okay.
I have enough orbs with me
yeah.
that if I can, those orbs will be able to withstand.
Yeah.
They're metallic.
Yeah.
So I can use that as a blocking device.
Okay.
I'm only worried about, am I fast enough to get by him?
Yeah. He's not in front of the door. He's kind of like, he's just come into the room. And you're like, we get a panel that shows him with the tropical plants all around him.
So he would be like underneath the squid thing?
Yeah.
Like, is he coming from that way?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what do you do?
I'm going to be backing up as fast as I can without actually turning around and running.
Okay.
Because I need to be fast enough so that the other scientists, don't catch up to me, but
yeah.
I can't afford to turn my head with this guy pointing an arrow at me.
Okay, so he calls out to you, now, kid, I'm going to give you one last chance. Coming in here, you're messing with things that are bigger than you understand. So you put it down, and as far as I'm concerned, you can just leave. He's going to try to shift your labels right there. Yep.
I'm definitely rejecting. Whatever it is, I don't care.
Screw you, man.
He is raising your mundane and lowering your savior.
I would have rejected that anyway, but
okay.
I think I have to reject because I'm at max mundane?
No. If your label gets shifted and it can't shift because it's at the top or at the bottom, then you mark a condition instead.
Okay.
Can still reject.
Not relevant in this case. I'm going to reject it anyway.
Okay.
But,
sounds good.
Is that that's a straight roll?
That's a straight roll.
An 8.
All right, excellent. So on an 8, you hold yourself and tune them out, and you choose one. Clear a condition or mark potential by immediately acting to prove them wrong. Shift one label up and one label down, your choice, or cancel their influence and take +1 forward against them.
Oh, I'm going to cancel their influence.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. So you can write down that the Cryptokeeper no longer has influence over you, and you've got a +1 forward on him.
And he sucks.
And you can also write down that he sucks.
With an X.
He's the worst.
I'm going to hold up the burlap sack,
yeah.
which is obviously smaller than me,
yeah,
and go, this is bigger than I understand.
So he turns his bow, and he's firing an arrow to try to like cut the sack open and like drop it out onto the ground. So like the arrow's like coming right at you.
If he's aiming to just open the
like,
sack?
You can see that it's pointed at you for a moment. Basically, he's trying to like, you know, like the gunslinger thing, you knock the,
right,
the
gun right.
Like that, but with a sack.
I'm going to try to move the sack out of
okay.
the way.
All right.
I don't know if I'm fast enough for that.
Okay. Is there anything else you're doing, or you're just going to stand there facing him, or?
I'm still trying to back up.
Okay.
I'm trying to get to the door without definitely getting hit by an arrow.
Okay. What are your abilities? Like your, not your moves?
It's gadgetry and projectiles
okay.
/ physics.
Okay. So I think that this might fall under it because like ability to see where the projectile is going to be. Mm. So go ahead and roll to unleash your powers.
2.
The arrow just flies, it flies true and it cuts right through the sack and the experiment drops from the sack onto the ground. Why don't you tell us a little bit about this experiment?
This creature is about the size of like a small to medium-sized rabbit.
Okay.
And it sort of looks like a rabbit as well, except its back and like its head and its ears are covered in what I can best describe as like metallic scales.
Okay.
It's a cross between an armadillo.
Yeah.
And a rabbit.
Great.
Like,
okay.
As
like
simplified as I can
is,
get
yeah.
it, that's what you should be picturing.
So like kind of like an armadillo with like sort of like big ears. Does it have like an armadillo-y face or?
No, it looks more like a rabbit.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. The ears are covered as well. And
okay.
they probably would stand up like a rabbit's ears,
yeah.
but the scales are too heavy. So it does not, it like sort of does it, but not really. It's
nice.
more like a beagle.
Okay.
Like, not in the shape, but in the way that their ears
that they
lay.
Hang down, yeah.
yeah.
So you've said it's got kind of like a metallic covering.
Mm.
Is it like shiny? Like chrome sort of look?
Yes.
Or, okay.
Yeah. It's got a silvery chrome kind of look going on there.
Cool. So I think the panel that shows that falling is it falls in like curled up mode. and kind of like kronk, like with like a much like heavier onomatopoeia than you'd expect. And we see the Crypto Keeper just starting to like barrel towards you.
I dive forward to cover the creature and try to like get him in my arms as quickly as I can. And he may be like scratching me or whatever.
So you've got your arms around him and he's like kind of wiggling around. He's not scratching at you. Cause you two had like a nice little moment in the lab, but he's like,
I get him in my arms and I try to get up as quickly as I can.
Yeah.
And go, it's going to be okay, but you got to trust me here.
And it definitely like, we get a panel of it, like looking up at you and its brow is kind of like furrow for a minute. And it's like, but then it sort of like just cuddles into your arms.
I pick him up and I'm holding him in such a way so that his metallic coverings are in front of me. Like, not that I have him like stretched out, but I'm like holding, I'm like cradling him in my arm so that his protected side is out. But he's also going to be protecting me. Because if an arrow comes, I'm going to use his shell to block it, essentially. Nice. And again, I'm now gotta move faster than I normally would. So like I'm gonna like take a couple steps back very quickly and then look. Did he shoot another arrow? Is he just like
full on? He's like barreling right at you. He thinks he can take you physically.
Oh, then I'm getting at that. I'm bouncing. Yeah. I'm picking him up and I'm running as fast as I can to the door.
Yeah, and I think at that point there's like a panel that shows him just chasing after you, and he's so much larger than you. Like this is kind of like cat and mouse kind of thing going on. And then we get a panel that shows Penance, and she's sitting outside, and like she looks down and she can see, and like there's all sorts of guards that are like knocked out. There's like one hanging out of a
I'm
tree.
Outside the lab.
Yeah, you're outside the lab, maybe sitting up on top of the Xenonao sign, and there's like guards that are all just sort of strewn around. There's like one hanging off of a tree. There's one lying like on his back on a car, because clearly she's been like just taking care of some things out here. And you can see down through the front window, there's a shot of you seeing Kalino running out. And then you can see the Crypto Keeper just immediately behind him. What do you do?
First, I'm going to roll to charge my burn.
Okay, go ahead.
A 7.
Okay, and tell us again what that looks like.
So on a hit, I hold 3 burn, and I have to mark a condition. I'm going to mark angry.
Great. So what's it look like on the panel?
I basically hold out my arms and start to chant, and I get like a purpley like light glow around me. It's like very hot energy.
Yeah.
I've gotten really clean at it. Like it looks very clean and organized, and like I've got this down to a science now.
Nice.
So I charge my burn. And then I'm just going to begin to levitate over to where he is. And get ready to attack the Crypto Keeper.
The door that you're supposed to be going through was shattered by the arrow before. And so, like, I think we get a shot that shows Kalina, like, jumping through the open door. And then the Crypto Keeper's body just, like, filling the door frame as he's running behind. And he's out in this parking lot now. What do you do? My assumption is that you are running from him right now.
Yes, I am running and looking every which way to see if there's an alleyway or something that I can fit through, but he can't.
Okay.
I'm going to throw a fireball at the Crypto Keeper, not to hurt him, but to like hit maybe in front of him.
Okay.
To keep him from, like, I want to surround him in fire so he can't follow Kalino anymore.
Great.
I'm going to use overcharge, which allows me to spend 2 of my burn to get a 10 plus when I unleash my powers.
Awesome.
Would that count?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So just give us that panel.
So I'm going to build the flame ball in my hands, and I'm going to yell at the Crypto Keeper, "Hey, asshole!" And hopefully he looks so I get the benefit of seeing on his face. And then I'm just going to chuck it like 2-hand chuck overhead at him. Because it's big. It's like the size of like a basketball at least.
Yeah, because it's like, it can be bigger than that. This is overcharge.
Okay, you know?
You're the Nova.
A very big fire flame ball.
Yeah.
And I just like chuck it.
And and it just like it forms like a tunnel around him and just like forms this big wall. And he just stops, and the next panel just shows him with just like rage face on, with the two of you being able to just like skedaddle on out.
But before I leave, I'm going to like land right in front of him and like give him the finger.
Perfect.
And then leave.
Yeah.
Wretched child.
I'm angry, so.
Where do you two go with experiment 2313?
I'm probably going to try to sneak back home.
Okay.
I want this creature to feel safe, and I want to make sure that nobody else can see him. So I want to go somewhere very private.
So we have a panel that shows Kalino and Sage entering the Kahananui house and giving a wave to Kalino's dad as they kind of like go up to Kalino's room.
We move fast enough so that he won't ask any questions about the creature, but mm-hmm. we also move fast enough that he won't ask any questions about Sage.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I don't believe they've met before.
I've never been here before. Yeah, right. So okay. I'm, hi.
on the wall is a poster that looks like it's from the periodic table. It's one element.
Yeah.
And it's a KH. It's Kahananuium, where the atomic mass and things like that will be. It's just numbers that refer to like his first, like his address in Hawaii and like the zip code there and stuff like that.
Yeah, nice.
So there's a like display shelf in the room mm-hmm. and he has a replica statue of King Kamehameha. He was the king of Hawaii and there's a big statue of him on the big island. So they make replicas of it. So he has one of these smaller replicas in his room. But he uses it as like a catch-all like for his stuff. And right now it has one of those things you get on infomercials. It's like a necklace with a plastic bag on the bottom shaped like a pizza. So you can put a slice of pizza in it and carry it around with you. And it's just kind of hanging off the Kamehameha statue in his room.
And he's also has like his computer setup is just like it's one of those ones with all of, like the bright LEDs and everything like that. The color wires and everything, and it's all in the bright colors of Soka Katoa's costume.
Nice.
Although, needless to say, he wouldn't tell his parents that that's why.
Right.
And I think in there we just get a couple of panels that show you and Experiment 2313.
I put the creature on the bed,
okay.
and I'm introducing him to where he's gonna live, because and I say things like, so I'm Kalino and if somebody else comes in here, you need to hide because I don't think they want you to have me. Wait, the other way around.
It's looking up at you and it kind of goes.
I notice that the creature, when it's curled up,
mm-hmm.
is about the right size as one of my orbs.
Yeah.
And I look at Sage, and I look at one of the orbs, and then I look at the creature who's, like, rolling up in her hands.
Yeah. The next panel shows a big overhead view of Protean City University, and it has a couple of just a voice bubble up at the top that, well, first got, like, the little editor's note, like, later that day, and then a little voice bubble.
Thank you so much for coming by.
So the next panel then shows Kalino and Sage, and you're sitting inside an office, like a professor's office, but everything is set up so that it's all on the desk. So like, there's like a little shelf of books. There's a little computer. Sitting in a basically like a miniaturized wheelchair is Dr. Morris, who is a professor of microengineering and technology that is also a tiny lab mouse. So she's like dressed in just sort of her lab wear, and she is just kind of wheeling around to access her computer and like bring it up onto a screen that the two of you can see. And she says,
after having seen some of your previous works on the news and up close and personal, I thought that it might be worthwhile for me to check if I could ask you for just a consult on something.
Kalino is very taken aback by this because she's much, much, much more accomplished than Kalino is in anything. So he's just going to like, he's going to lean back a little bit and go, from me?
Well, I think the two of you will be able to help to some extent. I know that you have an interest in pursuing both superheroics and also technological fields. And she kind of brings her chair around to the edge of the desk and just like holds up a hand towards towards Sage, and like going for like a handshake kind of thing.
Sage is like, as we know, not the most tactful human. And she's just like looking at how nervous Kalino is about talking to a mouse. And the whole thing is just very weird. And I'm going to hold out like my pinky finger and be like, it's nice to meet you.
So Dr. Morris shakes your pinky and says, it's a pleasure to meet you. You must be Sage Penance.
Sage is fine.
Very nice. It's such a pleasure. So here's what's going on. We have been seeing some strange things popping up on some of our computers here on campus. It seems like a new piece of ransomware. And we thought that it would be useful. You know, it might be better just to show you. And so the next panel shows the two of you walking down a hallway in the school. Which of you is carrying Dr. Morris?
Well, I'm not. That's weird.
Yeah, I think Kalina would be more comfortable
okay.
with that.
So she...
Sage is just awkward all the damn time.
So Dr. Morris is like nodding and waving to people in the hallway as she goes. Like, you know, there's plenty of students walking around. It's all of these much older, much cooler looking college kids. But then she gets you into the lab, and it's just like a mechanist's dream. The inside is filled with just ridiculous amounts of moving robotic parts. The door opens from like, basically like a fresco image of the big like gold flowered archway things that are common in some of the retrofuturistic look, and just sort of like pixelates outward as it slides up out of the way, in the same kind of like interlocking movements that the robot Trip makes. And that is actually almost immediately what you're able to see, because inside this big lab, there's a center area that's a little bit like a surgeon's theater. But in the middle of it, there's just a laser force field circle. And in the center is Trip, the old guard Silver Age hero that is robots that disconnect from each other. It's kind of like one of the big Paragon heroes of the city.
Tactical Rapid Integration Protocol.
Yes, exactly. That's Trip. And that was a robot that was made by Dr. Morris, but currently it's just flipping through configurations, just rapidly. And occasionally it like will pull up a screen that will say like demo mode and have little sound bars popping up. Like you might see in like a stereo system at a Best Buy. But it's clearly just not functioning right. And she says,
now there's a lot of very qualified people that we could have brought in for this. And as you were absolutely right, that this may seem like it is a little above your normal pay grade, but it's difficult for us to ask somebody who counts on Trip's working to come in and help with something when they're going to need to depend on them in the very near future. So I was thinking that I would contact someone who I know has a bit of an engineering instinct and is willing to go on little excursions, and also to bring a magical element to it, because this is not your standard virus.
And the next panel shows just like this huge display screen, and there's just code just coming up just over and over again. And
finally, and then like after a little while of that running, it materializes into a like kind of a face made out of text, like one of those ASCII art things, and just shockingly loud booming voice rings out,
"I am Hexworm, and I have come to make my power known. If you would like control of trip again, placement of a lightning tower above this lab."
And then it goes back to kind of like default moving, spinning text again.
Kalino immediately turns to Sage and goes, "Hexworm, well, that's a stupid name."
I'm just going to ignore him. When did this begin?
This started here at this lab maybe 3 hours ago. We've kind of shut everything off from the network. We are no longer online, and we've been running all kinds of diagnostics, but I'm afraid that it isn't just code, because code we could deal with.
And she moves over to a little laptop that has like a big screen, and she's tapping on it and kind of like pulling some things up. And on the bigger screen, it's not like a huge screen, it's like a regular laptop with a tiny keyboard. And on it, you can see this one hasn't been online yet, so it isn't connected to the virus. Like, it hasn't been on the network of the Protean City University.
It seems that this piece of software has been showing up in a whole bunch of different locations. It hasn't just been at the university, but it seems to be localized to the city, which is a bit of a strange thing, because that seems to show that it's maybe targeted. We're trying to work out what's going on, but this seems to be a ransomware that's asking different people for very specific things. We don't think that it's being controlled by somebody at this point, because we've cut it off from other sources, and even when we were able to finish one order, it requested another. So, we're trying to work things out. And there's one last thing.
And she like just moves her chair to be able to point down to where there's like a big power strip. And there are just like 10 plugs completely disconnected from it. And then she gestures up at all of the displays that are once again showing Hexworm's face. And she goes,
"None of these terminals have had power for the past hour and a half."
Kalino's is going to think to himself, "Man, that was my only idea, was unplugging it and plugging it back in."
Have you been in contact with the other receivers of this message to see what kinds of items or requests they were made?
The requests have seemed really pretty random. There's been requests to turn on lights or turn off lights, to move cars, to like we received to set up a lightning rod. It's all very unusual. Normally with this kind of thing, they'll want you to buy their software that uninstalls their software.
To me, it sounds like they are related. They all have something to do with they could be related to electrical. So we have a lightning rod, we have something that could be a conductor, we have something that could be a grounder. Maybe somebody's trying to make a specific electronic pathway.
I think that's almost assuredly correct. So I've brought the two of you in because we kind of need to have some folks here at Nerve Center. I can't be leaving while Trip is in this state. When he was out before, he injured 3 grad students and probably put us back about $600,000 in lab destruction. I also have an additional resource that we might be able to take advantage of, but he's also not willing currently to leave the building. So I thought I would bring in an expert of some sort in technology and an expert of some sort in magic, and see if we can't get this whole thing taken care of.
So, Kalino's background is, when it comes to machinery like this, is mm-hmm. more reverse engineering things.
Okay.
So, he would not be able to, like, he'd be able to read the code that was displayed on the screen and probably not do a whole lot with it.
Okay.
But he can take certain parts of Trip apart.
Okay.
And sort of figure out what each command is doing more in a more literal sense.
Yeah.
And try to figure out if there's some way to bypass it.
Great.
If it's moving that rapidly, though, Kalino's going to lose a finger.
Yeah.
So you
might need to get a piece of Trip
right
out of there.
Right.
So I think this might actually be... So there's a couple different ways we can handle this. You might need to subdue Trip. And you can do that together. Or we can try to do like a let's split up gang to handle things at other times. What would you prefer to do?
I'm going to stay here. And okay. I'm going to work with Dr. Morris. You're going to have to help me with the words. It's what's that? It's like the electronic pulse.
EMP.
That's what I'm looking for. Yeah. I'm going to try to use one, whether they have one there or make one
okay.
myself, in order to try to temporarily keep Trip from moving so that I can move one part of Trip into another area.
Yeah, so you can work on it on your own.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have a panel that shows Kalino kind of explaining the plan and Sybil looking up at him and saying,
well, I hope you know what you're doing on this.
And then the next panel shows Sage standing in a hallway that just has like a very simple sign on the door for the Protean City University Library. But you also have a little piece of paper in your hand that has a drawn picture of like a little rune, basically, that you've been told to trace onto the door.
Okay. With like my finger?
Yeah.
So I'm going to look at the paper, look at the door, roll my eyes, and then with a lot of sass, trace the shape onto the door.
Yeah. And
like, this is silly, but I'm good. I'll do it.
Yeah. And like we get a couple panels that just show you kind of like just kind of like putting a shape on there. And then suddenly there's like green flame coming from the tip of your finger on the door. That's just, and it's just like tracing these lines, and we get an image of this rune for a moment, and then the door just pulls open, and you've maybe seen, like, there's all sorts of pictures and posters around that show, like, here, come check out the library, do your work here. This is not that library. This is a just wildly, dingily put together place, but with rows of perfectly preserved ancient books. The ground is, there's just junk around, like chairs that have been toppled, and there's several computers that looks like someone took a hammer to them, but it's on this very fine red and black carpet, and you have been sent in to talk with Professor Bowman. What do you do?
Bowman,
yes.
Do I see him in there?
Maybe not initially. It's a pretty decently sized
room.
Library. It's like a college library, but filled with just, it's just a little stranger.
So I'm gonna just kind of walk in and like look around, and it's huge, and I'm just gonna be like, hello.
And we get, like, one of those panels that shows, like, sort of a wider view and hello,
yeah.
hello, going out.
Dr. Mouse Morris sent me.
And then we get just an image of the professor coming around the corner. He's dressed in sort of classic professor wear, like, you know, the sort of tweed jacket sort of look, and... it's got the arm patches, but he's also wearing a tie that is just glittering with arcane symbols that are, like, you know, very evident and obvious to you. And he offers a big smile and says, "Oh, Dr. Morris said she was. Dr. Morris sent you down. You must have a
a problem of some kind. And he kind of like peeks his head out of the doorway and he goes, I'm taking this student in for office hours. You hear me? This is office hours. And then closes the door behind him and turns to you and says, technically, the bylaws of the university say they can't fire a professor during his office hours. And so this is office hours, and it's been office hours for a while. Come on back here. And he brings you over to a table where there's like stacks of books and everything. It looks a little chaotic at first, but like your arm brushes against one of the piles, and there's just like a little, basically like a force field around the book. So you don't actually like bump the book. You bump into like a little bit of thing keeping it safe inside. So, Dr. Morris wouldn't have set you down for just no reason. What can I help you with?
Sweet stabilizing spell.
Thank you. Took quite a while.
There's some sort of computer worm thing making demands in the city. It asked her for a lightning rod, and we think it might have something to do with creating a very specific electrical pathway. My nerd friend is working on the nerd stuff, and I'm here to talk to you about, you know, some practical things. Exactly. I can already tell we're going to get along fine.
Exactly. Perfect. And he stands up and looks around for a moment as if he's kind of just orienting himself and takes out a rolled up map of Protean City and just like puts it out onto the table. And you have like a note from Professor Morris that shows where they have confirmed locations that have been contacted. Mm-hmm. Needless to say, there's probably also locations that haven't been contacted. And the next panel shows just the two of you looking at this map with all of these little like flags and pins sticking out of it.
Do you see any patterns here that are recognizable?
Not yet, but that's why we've got books. And he taps one of the enclosures and like takes out like three or four huge tomes and just hands them to you, and then takes out another four for his own and plops them down on the table and starts reading.
I don't open the books. I'm just going to look at him and be like, hey, I never asked what your deal was, but I'm hoping it's rapid reading.
Four doctorates is what my deal is. Quite a long time of study. Ancient history, ancient magics, you know, all those sort of things before the university got rid of the program.
So you do have some access to magic?
Well, truthfully, anyone does if they are using the right methods and approaching it from a scientific sort of method.
Okay. And I'm going to like snap my fingers on and off and make fire in my hand.
And he takes off his glasses and looks at you and like points at you with the glass and goes, but that's something pretty interesting. All right, let's go back to the lab. So here's what I would like you to do. I would like you to roll to unleash your powers using superior.
Okay.
Because when you use technology to overcome an obstacle under the direct tutelage of Dr. Morris, you can use superior rather than freak.
Okay, so plus superior. That's a 10.
Perfect. So we get a scene that shows the EMP being created and like, you know, a little bit of talking and working on it and then being detonated in the middle of the room to knock Trip out for a little bit. And like we see the robot's head kind of like pushed to the side and it has text going across, goodbye, and then like a little frowny face sleeping. And you're able to go grab a bit of that bot.
So I want to take, I don't know if all of the pieces have some kind of screen on them or if it's like just the head piece. I would imagine they all do.
I don't know, actually. I think that, I mean, Trip is made from very small pieces, as I understand it. Okay. And so it comes together in a lot of different ways. It might be sometimes constructing some screen when it wants to do a screen.
Okay.
But like you could definitely connect it to a computer or something like that.
Right. If they're all small enough pieces that it, I was sort of imagining this as like, I was sort of imagining this as like three separate, like small TV sized objects.
Yeah.
But if they're made up of like a lot smaller things, I might just grab a handful of whatever it is. Like,
I think right now, while it is partially deconstructing, you can definitely grab like handfuls of what it is.
Okay, so then I'm gonna have like other people, whether they're grad students or whatever, come over and just grab like about a third of Trip.
Okay.
And take it like clear into another wing.
Yeah.
Far enough that I'm hoping that it will not just like
just try to go through the wall.
A building. Yeah. So we're going to take it into another room and essentially wait for it to go back online.
Okay.
And when it does, I want to see if the screen in the other room, or if there's a screen that comes up here, when it displays code, what pieces move? Because if there's a screen that's in this room with all the pieces here, and it is displaying some code and nothing is happening, then we know it's localized to that, those other pieces of Trip.
So once Trip comes back online, have you done something to like affix it into one place? I mean, this is now a much smaller threat, actually.
No, like it's not. I mean, it's in a secure room, so that the only way it's going to get out is if it goes straight through a door or a wall.
Yeah.
But there's nothing in the room that's going to prevent it from moving in the way that it wants to.
Yeah, it starts out. As the EMP brings it, like as it the EMP starts to wear off, it starts to go back into that same kind of rapidly shifting random pattern, and then it forms out into like a big plate kind of on the floor that has a distinctive raised shape on it, and our next panel shows Penance coming into the room, and like she has a picture of the big map that you've made on the phone, and like holds the phone up, and we can see that the mapping that you've done on the phone and the shape that that Trip has created are almost identical. So basically this is like a map where these events are happening. So you can see kind of where might be some places that haven't been marked yet, but are going to be marked. At the epicenter of this map is the Protean City Museum of Natural History. And so everything seems kind of like built around it. And like, Penance, as someone who is a practitioner of magic, that if you're gathering energy towards a point, that point is probably where something is going to go down.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. We should go to the museum.
So the next shot shows you out walking on the quad, and you're like going, how do you get around in the city? I know, Sage, you can fly. Is that how
levitate.
The two of you have been getting around, or?
I mean, I'll probably walk with him if he wants to walk. I'm not gonna.
I primarily walk, bus, or subway.
Okay,
like it's all public transit.
Okay, so you're on your way to the public transit, and there is a panel that shows somebody sitting inside of a car, and he's kind of like shaking a little bit, and he looks up at the two of you and takes this big, deep breath, and his engine roars to life, and the car is driving straight at you. It looks like he's about to try to run the two of you down.
I try to grab Sage and run to one side of the road, like towards into a building or something.
You try to grab me?
Yeah, like I take your hand.
Okay.
I try to. I don't know what you're doing.
You take my hand, and I levitate both of us.
Oh.
Okay.
Don't you save me.
Go ahead and roll to unleash your powers.
Okay. I'm helping.
That's a 10. Wait, is that plus anything?
That's plus freak.
It's an 11.
Okay. So the car just like roars underneath you, and it spins and comes to a halt. And this kid gets out of the car. He looks like just a regular college student. But he has a what looks like maybe a... He has what looks like maybe like a golf club that's been modified, so it has like electricity running along a wire around it. And he looks up at the two of you and goes, I'm sorry, but it's you or me.
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. This issue was emceed by Brandon Leon Gambetta, who can be found on Twitter at Dr. Captain Cobalt. Penance is played by me, Elsbeth Dunman, and I can be found on Twitter at The Cat on the Wall. Sokotoa is played by Mark Zurich, who can be found on Twitter at _Starkey_. The introduction is voiced by Peter DiGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation, is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us on our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com. Follow us on Twitter at Protean City and on Instagram at Protean City Comics. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.